You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kasprzak, joined by Dick Cagle. And we're talking about a Royals team in the final playoff push here in the last week of the season and putting up a good fight. Nice win against the Tigers on Sunday to avoid a sweep. They really needed that one. And then they go to Cleveland and darn near overcame a two-run deficit in that suspended game and then took the, I guess you could say, the nightcap of the quote-unquote doubleheader with a 2-0 win against Carlos Carrasco and the Indians. So, DK, you know, being around this team all year and kind of knowing their temperament, seeing them in this last week, do you feel like they're playing tight, they playing loose? How have they looked to you as far as, you know, this moment goes?
Yeah, they don't look tight to me at all. I think they're pretty relaxed. For a bunch of primarily younger players who really haven't been in the situation before, they've done a good job, too, Anthony, of bringing in some more veteran players, you know, guys like old Jason Frazier, Scott Downs, players like that that have been around for a while, kind of mingle in here in the last couple of months of the season. And you put them in with, you know, the James Shields and Wade Davises that they already had. So it makes kind of a nice veteran to younger player mix, although you look at the Royals and they're not really that young anymore. Bring in these older guys, and their average age has gone up. I think it's second only to the Yankees now, as far as being the oldest team. But basically, they're younger guys that really haven't been in a tight postseason push before.
Yeah. Well, kind of on that note, what is Raul Baños meant to this club? I mean, he's fairly limited as far as his offensive contributions at this point in his career, but I'd have to imagine he's been a great clubhouse influence on these guys.
Oh yeah, Raul, you know, is he's 42, but he seems a lot younger, and he's just such a wonderful person, and he's been around a long time. He's a calming influence. He's a very wise person and ball player, and he just kind of permeates a real calming influence, and at the same time, he generates a passion to win as well. You know, he's one of those rare individuals that has all those attributes.
As they go in these final games of the season, obviously, the AL Central race is still in play for them. Worst case scenario, maybe we can't say worst case scenario at this point, but they have a very good shot of locking up a wild card berth. How much would it mean to them if they do get in that wild card game? How much would it mean to them to take the top spot amongst the two wild card teams, have that game at home? You know, we've seen the attendance this year has been the most since 1991, just under 2 million fans. I'm sure there's a lot of incentive in that organization, in that clubhouse, to get at least one October home game.
Oh, yeah, that would be a terrific boost for the franchise and of course, for the city. The Kansas City area has really supported these guys all through the years, you know. Some very lean years, obviously, and the last two or three years have been very promising. So I think that would be a tremendous boost to the area to have at least one home game in this postseason to kind of kick things off and kind of validate everything that the city and the franchise have been striving to accomplish.
In that last regular season home game, there was obviously a nice salute to Billy Butler, a guy who's been there through some of those lean years, and really had an interesting role here in the second half. He went from their offensive savior in August to a guy really dispatched to the bench for much of September, but came through with some big hits in that win over the Tigers, and it sounds like Ned Yost is going to stick with him the rest of the way.
Yeah, Yeah, because you know, Billy's been there, and Billy can hit. When Billy's on, Billy can hit, and Billy through his career has been on most of the time. He's been a very consistent player, and until this year when he kind of hit some ups and downs. But through it all, Billy has really maintained his his team attitude and his positive thinking on this whole thing. I know, you know, I know privately it's gotten him down that he hadn't been able to produce as he normally has. But he's been a good, solid team guy. Always putting on the good, happy face. And now, after he had that tremendous August, he kind of fell off a little bit. But now he's starting to look a little bit more like the old Billy. And if he can crank out a few key hits here in this this last week, it'll be huge. And Ned is going to stick with him, I think, pretty much through the last few games.
Butler and Shields are the two big, you know, pending free agents, I guess you could say, that the top rotation arm, and then Butler you know, has been their DH for so long. Do you think it's a foregone conclusion that this is the last go-around with those guys? Do you think there's any chance either guy is back next year?
I don't know. Personally speaking, I'd say it's probably doubtful. But Billy is, for one, has indicated a willingness to renegotiate his contract, which is calls for a $12.5 million option, team option,
right,
for next year. And I don't think it's there's any way that the team will exercise that option, but they might be willing to renegotiate with Billy. I don't know. I have no insight on that at all. But I think Billy loves Kansas City and he'd like to stay. As far as the Shields goes, I think he's going to test the free agent market, and we'll see what happens there. But I suspect that he'll probably end up going elsewhere. I don't know that the Royals can match any of the rich offers that he's bound to receive.
Yeah, the one X factor, I guess, with Shields will be that qualifying offer, which we've seen that affect certain guys' markets, but I don't think it'll affect him too deeply, especially when you think about it. I mean, a team like the Red Sox will have such an obvious need, and they've been known to spend, so the Cubs could be players in that market as well. But, you know, you think back, DK, and you think about the trade for Shields and kind of the uproar it caused. It seemed like it was really a divisive move. You know, some people love the move, and some people just absolutely despise it. Some people are very vocal in despising it. But I'd have to say, on measure, you know, as great a player as Will Myers was in his rookie year and might still be for the Rays going forward, you know, the Royals have to be very happy with the way that worked out, not just in landing Shields, but obviously Wade Davis, who's been so essential in the bullpen.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It worked out in the Royals' favor and in the Rays' favor, too. It's one of those rare deals that it seemed to work out well for both teams. And even if Shields goes elsewhere, the fact that Davis is developing into such a terrific, I mean, just terrific relief pitcher, that has really paid off. And he has the essentials probably to develop into a closer as time goes by.
Another guy who's been so key for the bullpen here down the stretch is Brandon Finnegan. Really gives him a nice left-handed look, a guy they just drafted. The raw stuff, you knew that was there, but you didn't necessarily know, you know, how he'd succeed in this first taste of the big leagues. It has to be just a whirlwind of a year for him, getting drafted at TCU and just a few months later pitching in a prominent playoff push. So, and do you think I mean, is it looking like he'd be their go-to lefty out of the bullpen in an October arrangement? Do you think that's a fair assumption at this point?
Well, I think they're not going to be reluctant to use him in high-leverage situations. In fact, Ned Yost said as much after the game he pitched against the Indians. And, you know, the kid in his first 5 1/3 innings is not allowed to run. Allowed three hits, no walks, eight strikeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, he just came in and looked real real smooth and real confident out there. So, yeah, I think he might be their go-to guy as a left-hander out there, although they have, you know, some other choices. But I think, you know, when they get into the playoffs, it could be that maybe Danny Duffy could end up in the bullpen. We'll have to see how that rotation shakes out. That could be another left-handed alternative, too.
Yeah, you think about those wild card games, it's kind of all bets are off as far as the usage patterns and that sort of thing. You could stock your bullpen with some of your starters if you want. You could piggyback them. But obviously the Royals still have a shot to avoid that wild card run altogether because they're still pushing the Tigers, a team that they struggled against head-to-head. But the Tigers in this final week are facing the White Sox and the Twins, two teams they've had some trouble with this year. So it's still potentially there for the taking for this Royals team. Be exciting to watch this AL Central finish. I want to thank Dick Cagle for joining us. I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.